Case number 12818, Kimberly Morrow seeks a special use exception to operate a commercial dog kennel on a property of less than 5 acres. Sections 11520, 11523, and 115210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the southeast side of Fallen Road, approximately 0.54 miles from Sugar Hill Road. The 911 address is 10244 Fallen Road in Greenwood. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 430, Map 11, Parcel 100. We have one letter of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail return.
Good evening. Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Yes, it's Kimberly Morrow, 10244 Fallen Road, Greenwood, Delaware, 19950.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Hi.
With that address, I take it you made it through the tornado?
Yeah, we had tree damage, lost like screens from our house, basic little stuff, nothing compared to our neighbors, thank goodness. So
you fared better than the rest. That's good.
Yeah.
You may present your case, ma'am.
Okay, I am seeking a variance or special use for a dog kennel on my property. I do have under 5 acres. I have 2.94 acres that I recently purchased last April. And commercial sounds kind of big. Maximum dogs I would like to have is 10. I do have two homes on the property. It's kind of hard to see there, but on my survey, you can see there's a larger house to the left and a smaller one to the right. I would be using that smaller home. It's already built to the right. It's a one-bedroom home, and I would have the dogs inside of that residence. So I guess if you're looking at it, it would be the one to the left.
Right under the AC?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Guess that means it's air conditioned.
And yes, it is. the home is made of concrete or block, so it does help hopefully with any sound as well. And I don't really have any neighbors very close to me where I'm at.
Could you zoom out, please?
Okay.
I'm familiar with that area. Yeah.
You said your neighbors aren't really, you don't have any close neighbors.
Right.
But have you spoken to them?
I spoke to the lot 31, and he was okay. Lot 33, I think she called in. I have not got to speak to anyone at lot 30. There's a slight language barrier. And then the other lot 25, which is the very back of my neighborhood. Yes, his house is to the front of his property, so there's nothing but field behind me. And then, of course, I have three wonderful chicken barns behind me on the other lot. So.
Mr. Sharp, if this was 5 acres, would we be here today because it's separated there? Are they separated far?
So this is one of those, staff and I were discussing, this is one of those unique kind of anomalies in the code. When you go through, if it's a farm of 5 acres or more, they can have it if it meets the setback requirements, which is 200 feet from lot line. When it's less than 5 acres, they are required to come to the board for a special use exception for that use. So that's why they're here for this. So you in the past have seen them, I think, where there was variance from the lot lines.
Mm-hmm.
But that was because I recall we had one down in the Laurel area that was a narrower property, but it was 5 acres, it was over 5 acres, but they couldn't, if they went one way, they'd still hit it, and they went the other way, they'd still hit it. So
right. It
was, that's why you see it's a little different section code. Staff and I have kind of gone back on that one. It is an area code that's a little unique.
So we have the acreage, but it also doesn't meet the setback, right?
Well, no. This one doesn't have the acreage. This is why they have to get a special use.
No, I'm saying we're sort of both, right? So it doesn't, even if it did have the acreage, we wouldn't have the setback requirements.
Yeah, because, I mean, this one is, what, 2 point something acres? Mm-hmm. So. They kind of don't even get to that point.
Gotcha.
Ma'am, how big is this building that you're going to use?
I think it's like approximately 900 square feet.
Okay. Was it originally constructed to be like an apartment?
It's a single family home. It's a one bedroom, one bathroom.
Okay.
It was two residents when I bought it. I get hurt. I was told they were brothers. My house is the larger of the two. I did have my daughter living there. She's about to move out, so that's why I want to use it for this. Dogs will be kept inside. There will be no outside runs. I plan on putting, I do have a fenced-in yard now around the majority of my property. There will be a smaller 6-foot privacy fence that will be where the dogs go out, and so they'll be closed in even closer to the home just for bathroom breaks, and then we'll be brought back in.
Is it only going to be used for boarding?
Yes.
So no training or breeding or anything
no
like that?
No daycare, nothing like that. It'll just be for vacation, so I'm thinking it's going to be a little more seasonal as well, probably more busier during the summertime, and then less busy, you know, throughout the year when people aren't really traveling.
Okay, so you're converting a, what looks like a single-family dwelling to a kennel?
Correct.
Thank you.
So when you say dogs will be in the home?
Yes.
What would you tell me? I mean, it conjures up all kinds of things, but what would you see or what would you anticipate to be your maximum occupancy?
10. And that's divided between two rooms, so I'd have 5 in one room and 5 in another room.
And they're, I'm assuming, kenneled within those structures?
Correct. I'm going to have larger kennels. That's why there'll be minimum amounts. That way they offer a bigger space for them to be contained inside.
This would be daily, probably more like dog sitting or long-term or weekly?
Yeah, I'm assuming that people that come would be probably would stay between 5 to 7 days. It's okay. Generally when people are on vacation.
Gotcha.
Yeah, or out of town. It could be just a night or two. Okay. But I do have hours of operation. It's only going to be open from 7 to 10 in the morning and then from 4 to 5 in the afternoon for pickup. So there wouldn't be a lot of traffic. It'd be just drop off and pick up.
I see in your application you've got some pictures up here, some like evergreen trees and stuff.
Yes.
What are your intentions?
I planned on planting those to block lots 33 and 34. That'd be to the left of the screen. Yes, I would plant them along right where your arrow is, just to give some more privacy to those neighbors. Although the one right in the front 30 is kind of excited and started making some upgrades to their property for my business opening. And then I also have the fence that I wanted to do. It's a 220 square foot of fence that's going to be butted right to the home.
Mr. Sharp, you said there's a fenced in area. Is that going to be to the looks like the south west side of the home, the kennel? Where is the fence scenario?
The fence that I'm going to put in, mm-hmm. It's going to come off of the back of the building. I have
between the building
pictures.
And the pool?
Yes, it's going to go from behind the building to the pool and then over towards the field closer to the panel.
And I noticed there's a ditch along your property line.
Yes, there's attached ditch, yes.
Any issues with any fecal matter or anything like that drain into, or are you going to be picking that up, I presume?
Oh, no, it'll be picked up after every bathroom break.
And it looks to me like where this structure is located is not quite the center, but pretty close to the center of your lot. Is that safe to say?
That's correct, yes.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Does that conclude your presentation, ma'am?
Yes.
You may have a seat if you'd like.
Thank you.
Is there anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Would you like to come forward and make a statement, sir? Mr. Sharp can swear you in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Joe Donovan, 68 Bryan Drive, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, 19971.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So I sold this property through Emirates Auctions about 2 years ago. So I cleaned up the property, took a bunch of crap off of it, cleaned out the houses. So that's why I'm standing here. What the house she's turning into kennels is exactly what it should be. It's all concrete floors, it's all made out of concrete. Turning kennels inside makes sense, just make the doorways. And there's enough separation between the other properties. The one that's kind of, she said, the border fence there, they're nice people. I mean, even when I have a Great Dane, so I take him up there, he's running through the field, you know, there's 3 acres. She'd be calling them over to come play with them, and you know, it was good. They're good people. The other ones I didn't meet, but the property sits back far enough, noise, anything else, there's no real issues there, and it is set up pretty good for what she does want to do. So, like I said, you can look it up. I sold it like 2 years ago through Emirates. Anything else?
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this case?
Yes, sir.
You may come forward and be sworn in, sir.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Michael Watson, 10206 Fawn Road.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And I think you said Fawn Road. Would you show us on the map where that
is?
You can walk up to it. It's easier.
We are right here.
Okay.
And the floor is yours, sir.
Okay. The application is being submitted due to the unique characteristics, that's what they put on there, of the property, that prevent it being a commercial dog kennel. And yes, there is a problem with it not meeting the 5-acre legal requirement or the 200-foot setback. And in fact, there's not one spot on the whole lot that's going to be 200 feet back from its neighboring properties. But the main thing I'd like to approach right away, which I think will solve this, is it's a family residence area. It's not a commercial area. She's applying for a commercial license, a commercial variance to allow for a commercial dog kennel. All 34 lots in the Fawn Grove subdivision have agreed to certain restrictions as part of their deed of ownership. Inside the Declaration of Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions for Fawn Grove, it states no commercial activity of any kind will be permitted on any lot. And this is something that all of these properties had to sign when they purchased their property. Beyond that, she states that there will be no adverse affecting neighboring properties. The increased traffic to a business on a road that gets very little traffic now is not only going to create a further noise problem, but it's also a further hazard to families. There's a lot of families in the area, small children. Meanwhile, the barking would create another noise problem, of course. In her statement, she asserts that she's going to be using sonic devices to control the barking. In and of itself, that's an admission that she's going to be adding an unwanted disturbance to the neighborhood that doesn't take into account that such devices have been extensively studied and shown to provide no benefit whatsoever. And furthermore, they've been deemed cruel to the animals on which they're used. I have a statement here that has been put out by the RSPCA, or the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, that shows that such devices, not only do they not work, but they cause long-term psychological harm to the animals.
Is there anything you want to submit? If you want to submit anything on the record, you can get Ms. Norwood there at the end and she can put them in.
And there are family dogs and cats in the area. I've got 2 cats myself. But with a sonic device that is clearly going to cause harm or worse to the animals in the area, these properties are quite close together. And any such device would be causing harm to neighboring animals, and I can't tolerate that. Finally, the prospect of those who may drop off or pick up animals from this location are going to create a disturbance to the serenity that's in this area. with the general public patronizing a business in a non-business area, there's going to be an influx of that same public to an area that's always had some modicum of, you know, privacy and security, especially due to the nature of the property being in the back of the neighboring properties. There's going to be an ever-changing general public walking around behind houses and looking in through windows. All of this is going to lower the value and desirability of the properties in the area. So not only is Ms. Morrow looking to subvert the existing code to allow a commercial dog kennel on a property that's too small to house such an endeavor, but it's she's also seeking permission to encumber the rights of her neighbors. So I would ask you to deny the special use exception for the very reason it's called a special use exception. Simply put, please grant no special permission for one resident that's at odds with the reasonable assumptions of safety, privacy, and peace that are currently enjoyed by the residents of the neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
Sure. Just a point of clarification, just so you know, while this board can consider restrictive covenants, we don't enforce them. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. This, you had mentioned the 200-foot separation and the 5-acre. I just want to make sure you're clear that that's not applicable in this case. That's why it's a special use exception.
Understood.
So, and the standard here is whether the use will substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties. So that's the standard that this board has to deal with. So I don't know if hearing any of that, if there's anything else you wanted to add to it, but certainly wanted to make sure you're aware of that.
I think I'm clear.
And the applicant as well, so she's aware of that too.
I think I'm clear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Good evening. Mr. Sharp, will swear you in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Frances Stengel, 10395 Fawn Road, Greenwood, Delaware. Indeed. I also own two adjacent properties to that.
Okay. And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And could you identify those properties that you own that are adjacent to it?
Yes.
So this one, and this one. And this area did take a direct hit from the tornado. Many of our neighbors aren't able to attend tonight because they're still balancing the burden of cleanup and work. So I brought a couple things for you that I'll reference. The first is a drawing of phase two. This property is in a recorded development called Fawn Grove. It was laid out in two phases. This is phase one. It was recorded on April 2nd, 1994, book and page number 52396. And I brought one for each of you. On one side, you'll see the properties laid out on my side of the road. The deed restrictions are on the back. I have the signature page if you need it, but I figured you didn't. The second one is across the street in the subject property, and that is phase two. It was recorded September 6, 1994. And the deed restrictions are on the back. This is a terrible way to meet your new neighbor. I'd like to say that all of us in the neighborhood are nice people, not just the people right around the property. And generally speaking, these homes are all custom built homes that the original owners built nearly 30 years ago and are still there. We don't have a lot of turnover. This particular property is a cinder block, one story, small house. It doesn't meet the deed restrictions as it is. We have all just kind of we're live and let live pretty much out there. However, this goes a little too far. First of all, I would just say that we all invested there. It was a farm, and we all invested there with the security of these deed restrictions to protect our investment. And asking for an exception to that for basically 24/7 business operation 7 days a week in a residential area is asking a little bit too much. I've got section 115.20 permitted uses, and it does mention that they're single family dwellings. The applicant's already said there's two dwellings on that property, which we haven't raised a concern about, but I would say for the record that is not our rules that we're going by. And because of the deed restrictions, we do believe that having traffic to the property within the neighborhood of 34 homes is out of line with our expectations. We've already heard about the setbacks being nowhere near what's intended, and the property being just about half of what is required. Our concern about it being a temporary permit is that if, for instance, if you didn't ask her how many dogs she owns, so we know there's going to be 10, but we don't know how many are permanently there. I guess our concern is, do we have to enforce it if the trees don't go up or the fence doesn't go up? She says she has a fence, but it's basically like poles and two lines of wire. None of our dogs would be prohibited from getting to her dogs if they were to get loose. I would imagine the same would be true in return for our children and pets. I would also say that probably the biggest impact is it will change the character of our neighborhood. It'll bring traffic in, people that aren't from here. The noise from the barking is going to be significant, and it will cause our own dogs to bark when they hear it. But I would like to share with you a story. When we actually put one of our lots up for sale and had a buyer, and the deal fell through because someone in a, I'll point, this property we had for sale, and the people here had dogs. And this sale felt they were coming to sign the paper. They went back out to the lot one more time, just to look at it one more time, heard the dogs barking, and backed out. So I can't imagine what a couple dogs from one neighbor barking cost us a sale. What that would do with dogs there all the time, every time they visit. So most of the homes in our development go for $400,000 to $900,000. The record will show that. This house is not characteristic of our neighborhood, and this use is not characteristic of our neighborhood. Most of our lots are 1 to 10 acres each, and we do feel that there's quite a bit of risk here. So we would ask that you deny on those merits. Thank you.
Questions?
Real quick.
Question?
Yep. So none of these homes existed there before the development was created, or subdivision, I guess, or?
None of the ones shown there. There's, she mentions the distance to Sugar Hill Road. That's actually farther. If you go around the curve and to the right.
Okay, ma'am, she didn't mention that distance. That's the property description. I wrote that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
It's adjacent road, just for reference.
Okay, and for reference, here, this is our development here. This is farmed by Carlisle's, and all of this was farmed. When I purchased these, this was all in sorghum, and then this house was built. We were the second ones here, and the rest came. And I think she's been, I think she said last year she moved in. So.
Well, I just wanted to make sure. So any person that purchases a house in there is made aware, knows the covenants that exist.
Absolutely. And it says in there that they keep it.
Pam, if you could come back to the mic, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Absolutely. And it does say...
We have to get it on tape.
Yes, it does say in the deed restrictions, something toward the end there where Mr. Leshefsky and Mr. Maul and Mr. Hamilton said that they convey. It's right before the list of prohibited things.
Paragraph 3 says no commercial activity of any kind will be permitted on any lot. Is that what you're referring to?
Right, and right before that where it says, now therefore, Ted Leshefsky, M. Edward Maul Jr., Irving Cohn, and Lyle F. Hamilton declare the following restrictions shall run with, burden, and bind the real property, and that Ted Leshefsky, M. Ed Maul Jr., Irving Cohn, and Lyle Hamilton hereby declare that the lot shown on the plot of record, as for said, shall be held, transferred, sold, conveyed, and occupied subject to the following restrictions. So we all invested there thinking this would never happen. And because I have two unimproved lots, in addition to my home, I have a significant interest in the property value. Also have dogs. So this is a tough, you know, I'm not anti-dog and I'd love to meet my new neighbor, but this is just a little more than, you know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to this case?
And just before you go, how many people do we have in opposition to this? I know we took a roll call hands earlier. I know there's this gentleman, this lady, and ma'am, are you going to testify too?
It's according to what he says. It's okay. Husband.
So what we do is, and this may be better for everybody, if you're in support or in opposition, when the chair calls for it, you can raise your hand. That doesn't mean you necessarily have to come up and speak. It just shows whether you're in favor of or against it. And then we'll ask for those who are in support or in opposition if they want to come up. So I think when their hands were raised earlier, I didn't see how many were up, but I want to make sure we get everybody on the record how many we have. So, sorry, sir, I didn't want to.
That's okay.
I see we got another one here who's in opposition. So.
Well, we can get that after he testifies.
So, Mike, can you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Bruce Marshall. Address is 10303 Fawn Road, Greenwood, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
And would you be so kind as to show us where you're property is located?
My property is right on the bed map.
Okay. Lot 96 on the tax map. Thank you.
Floor is yours, sir.
Okay. One of my biggest concerns is I know they say the dog barking late at night. I got neighbors that got dogs, and I can just imagine how dogs react when they see other dogs. And I'm just imagine coming in one night or maybe trying to get sleep and you hear dogs barking. And you could say all day long, we can keep the noise down. That sounds good when we're in a meeting like this, but when everything is gone and everybody's quiet and you're on your own, the dogs bark. And the question would be, is what do we do as a homeowner? I mean, do we complain to the police officers? And then what are they going to do? Are they going to come out and warn them? Are they going to come out and get issue tickets? So I'm very concerned about that. Most of all, I've been on that property for about 23 years. And we bought that as an investment and as a retirement investment. And I know my house right now is worth quite a bit. Now the next question is, what is that going to do to my property? Is that going to bring the value of my home down? Because now we got a dog kennel in, and you could say all day long that we're not going to have a whole lot of traffic come in. We have maybe 4 cars in the morning, 4 cars in the afternoon. That's only just the beginning. You're going to start having a lot of traffic coming in and out, in and out. And then we as residents, and we all are nice residents on Fawn Road. We all as I think we're all as a real tight community. We speak to each other. We might not talk to everybody, but we all the time waving to everybody. We all the time, you know, hi, bye, whatever. So the question would be is what is that going to do to our neighborhood? I mean, what type of traffic is going to be coming? We can say people that gives their dogs, like when they're going on vacation, and we could say all day long that, yeah, we're bringing our dogs to a kennel where they have a vacation where the people who owns the dog can go on vacation. But then again, you don't know who you bring into your neighborhood. You really don't. Every full blue moon, you're going to get somebody that might not be an honest person. You might get two or three. I'm one of the ones that was hit pretty hard in a tornado. And I was talking to one of the police officers, and he was telling me, in the bad situation that we were in, how many people was going out in different neighborhoods that's been affected by that tornado that was stealing, all right? People was taken, and that's how, I mean, that's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of you know, this world. So the question would be, yes, you might have good people that bring dogs in, but then again, you're going to have some bad people that bring their dogs in, bad people that's going to scope the area out, and bad people that's going to rob from you. And I don't want to see Fawn Road be in that situation. So I hope you guys look at that and really put that into consideration and deny the request. And that's all I got to say.
Mr. Sharp?
You had mentioned the roadways in the subdivision. Are those, does the subdivision maintain those roads, or are they state-maintained roads?
I think Sussex County. I think the county.
Okay, so they're not something that the HOA owns?
Maintains. No.
Okay. Thank you. No.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Is there anyone else present who would like to speak in opposition? Could we get a show of hands for people in favor of this case? And a show of hands for people that are in opposition? Thank you. Did you get that, Mr. Sharp?
I got five.
Okay, so did I.
And 1-4.
Yep, 1-4. Operator, is anyone on the line that would like to speak in reference to case number 12818 for Ms. Kimberly Morrow?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. I have Robin on the line. Robin, your line is open.
Good evening, Robin. Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
Robin, this is James Sharp. I'm the board's attorney. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Can you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Robin Williams. My address is 10387 Fawn Road, Greenwood, Delaware, 19950.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely, yes.
And Robin, I note you had said your address was on Fawn Road. The folks that were here, we gave them an opportunity to let us know where their property is. I know that you're doing this over phone, so that may be a little more difficult, but could you just describe for us where your property is in relation to the applicant's property?
My property is in front of Mrs. Stengel's wood line. My driveway are parallel. Does that help?
I believe
the property in question is around the corner. I mean, less than an eighth of a mile.
Yeah, I believe we've located it on the tax map, and it's about one acre, lot number 12. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that.
You may go ahead and present your go ahead one way or the other. Say what you need to say.
Okay, I'm in opposition of this special permit in opposition of this commercial dog kennel to open, and these are the reasons why. As the others have said, it's only 2.94 acres, which doesn't meet the deed restrictions. It doesn't meet the setback requirement. You know, there's noise. I have a background in working with veterinarians and I'm familiar with multiple dogs in a room and a kennel. And, you know, she said that she has two bedrooms that have five kennels in each bedroom, which the building itself looks like the size of a one single-wide mobile home, but it's made out of rock. In my opinion, and as an advocate for the animals, I think that that's not adequate space. But for me and my neighbors, the noise is a concern, even with trees buffering and whatever sonic device that she thinks that's going to stop barking. I have concerns about the cruelty to the dogs that she's boarding. And in addition, she states that she's going to take just a few dogs out at a time, which leave the dogs in the crate the majority of the time, which, you know, dogs next to dogs in a small room in kennels will bark, not one barking. So the barking is going to be a problem. If she does use sonic devices, I'm a little opposed to that too, because I have a dog and I'm not going to let anybody affect his well-being. The traffic is a concern. We have a lot of deer on this road, and we have children, and everybody has a dog, although they don't roam free. There's wildlife out here. And, I know just last winter, two deer got hit and ended up in my front yard by people not obeying speed limits going down this road, you know, and as the other, my neighbors have said, you know, we don't know how much traffic this is going to bring. I know she said she's going to have different operating hours, but the later hours are during business hours when people are getting off work. So, you know, and there's a lot of beach traffic and things like that, and people may find this, see this dog kennel or use this kennel and start using our back roads to navigate, you know, the back roads to the beach, which may bring more traffic down our road for people getting off of 404 or 13. And the concern about the waste, dog waste is known to be bad for the environment. Dog urine, still trash. I don't know if she has trash, what she has back there, but eventually it's not going to be grass, it's going to be dirt. And then there's flies, other bugs that come. And then I have concerns about security. Fed about people here, riding by here, seeing what we have. That's a concern. You know, if any of the dogs get loose, or our dogs, if something were to happen, they got a fight, if someone got bit. You know, going back to the sanitary problem, you know, it's got taxes there, so I'm concerned about, you know, groundwater contamination over a period of time and runoff into the ditch. So, for those reasons, especially, you know, because she purchased the property through auction, but...
Thank you. You're fading in and out.
So, that's it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else on the line who would like to speak in reference to case 12818 for Ms. Kimberly Morrow?
We have Jennifer on the line. Jennifer, your line is open.
Hello, this is Jennifer Miller. My address is 10154 Fawn Road, Greenwood.
Jennifer, this is James Sharp, the board's attorney. Can you, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And just for the board's benefit, could you describe where your property is in relation to the subject property?
I am on the same side of the road as the proposed dog kennel. And I'm towards Route 13, a few houses, where a ranch home up against a little clump of woods.
Okay, I believe we've located it. Staff has pulled up your property. It's a triangular property. Okay, very good. Thank you.
So I just wanted to voice my family's opposition to having a dog kennel and changing to a commercial use. It basically comes down to quality of life, noise, traffic. On our road, there's no shoulders, you know, and we have families walking with strollers. So you're either walking in a lane of traffic or you're in a ditch. Just the idea of the dog barking, I've been a little distressed learning the plan to put them in this building and the electronic device to help control them. I mean, I'm an animal lover, and that doesn't sound ideal to me. But I don't want to take up more time, but I did want to get my vote in that it's distressing to think of losing property value and quality of life, and it's quiet here. You know, we sit on our deck, and it's quiet, and anyhow, I appreciate you hearing my voice.
Thank you. Operator, is anyone else on the line that would like to speak in reference to case 12818 for Ms. Kimberly Morrow?
We have Carol on the line. Carol, your line is open.
Thank you. I live at 10293 Fawn Road. I am just west of Bruce Marshall.
Okay, ma'am, before you get going too far, I heard your name is Carol. What is your last name?
Moore.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. The floor is yours.
I'm opposed to this. There's a variety of houses in this neighborhood, and the house in question is one of the smallest, and it has to be a little apartment. And it's been fixed up nicely. But trying to put the dog kennel there is not, is with the rest of the property people use it. It's out of order of the use of all of this neighborhood. And I'm concerned about the noise and the traffic and the chance of it really not looking as good as what might be proposed, and then it's just going downhill from there. And that's going to affect
the
property value.
That's all I have. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Operator, is anyone else on the line that would like to speak in reference to case 12818 for Ms. Kimberly Morrow?
We have Lee on the line. Lee, your line is open.
Hello, Lee. Hello?
Hello, sir. Can you hear us?
I can move on to the next person. John. John, your line is open.
Hi, John.
This is John Scott, 10382 Fawn Road.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And the staff is pulling up, I think, your address now, Mr. Goff, so you can go ahead.
Okay, yes, sir. I mean, pretty much I'm in opposition for the reason given multiple times here by my previous speakers. The only thing that I guess my primary concern, again, is noise, because I know dogs and barkers can travel more than a mile. And in general, I'm also hesitant to mention that this, the way it's described now, the limited housing and tent dogs or whatever it is, but I didn't hear any mention that would be a restricted number that in regard to future expansion and so forth. So, I mean, I could picture, since there is space there, that this could become more of an enterprise, and of course, then I would multiply all the above issues. And so, again, I don't think it's a good idea for the setting of our neighborhood.
Thank you, sir. Operator, is anyone on the line that would like, anyone else on the line that would like to speak in reference to case 12818 for Ms. Kimberly Morrow?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Okay, we have Lee on the line. Lee, your line is open.
Good evening, sir. Can you hear us?
This is Wade Moore. It's not Lee. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
Okay.
Sir, can you restate your name and address for the record?
Wade Moore, and I'm at 10366 Fawn Road. I'm kind of behind where the proposed dog kennels are.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. The floor is yours.
I'm opposed to this application. I was just under the ground with Bruce said, Ms. Dangle, Rob and John, everybody that's spoken. This is the Hebrew restricted area. I invested a lot of money in this property, a lot of time, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to build my own house 20-some years ago. And, at that time, I wasn't expecting a residential area to turn into a commercial area. I moved here from Kent County, from Dover specifically, to get away from exactly what's happening. It's peaceful, it's quiet, I sit on my desk. A friend of mine had great Chesapeake. He lived around the corner on Sharp Mill. It's probably a quarter of a mile away. When he was in full operation raising his dog, and he only got 5 or 6, I could hear that dog being fed at night. I could hear when he was taken out. He's no longer alive. He passed away. He's got 3 dogs. He had that operation. All I could hear was multiple dogs, hard. He's owned agriculture. But this operation is violating the deed restrictions that we all agree to, and then also the traffic. This road is a very narrow road. If there's 10 more cars on this road today, it's going to significantly impact our quality of life here. I have no problem from a sort of business, and I love dogs. I have a Shepherd, but I don't want this business in a residential area, in my neighborhood. I just ask that you deny this application.
Thank you, sir. Does that conclude your statement?
Yes.
Thank you. Operator, is anyone else on the line that would like to speak in reference to case 12818 for Ms. Kimberly Morrow? Thank you. Would the applicant like to come forward and answer any of the questions that have been asked?
Yeah, one of the things that I've heard repeatedly is deed restriction. And when I purchased this property, it wasn't from auction, it was from a realtor. And nowhere at any point in time was I made aware of any deed restrictions for the homes that I was purchasing. If I was made aware of that, I would not have purchased in a deed-restricted neighborhood because I've been self-employed with either a home childcare or now wanting to do this my entire career. So I would never have purchased in a deed-restricted neighborhood. So that has not been brought to me. I've never seen any documents or paperwork stating. I know they do have copies of, I guess, a deed restriction that was set up years ago, but that was not made aware to me. I did hear several people say about the Sonic Egg that they were not opposed to it. That's fine. I asked my vet. It's nothing I have to do. I asked my vet what he would recommend to help lessen barking. That was one of his recommendations. So that is why I included it in my packet. I don't own the device. I've never used the device. It was on a vet recommendation for that. As far as traffic goes, I mean, it would be, like I said, probably seasonal. It would not be 10 cars every day. It would be in a week's time. So I don't think that that's going to impact anyone's lives dramatically that way. Again, the dogs are going to be kept inside. I know I have family and friends that have 4 or 5 dogs in their house, and they haven't had to go get a variance to own dogs that live inside their house. And we do have a neighbor who's not here, but they have a dog that's kept outside, and I hear their dog bark constantly, so I understand people's concerns, but they live outside and it barks day and night constantly. My animals are going to be kept inside, and there's not saying that I might not be successful and have 10 dogs at one time, but that may take years. I don't even know if it would happen, so I may have lesser dogs than that. I was told I had some kind of fence. I have a cattle fence. It's 4 foot in metal surrounding the majority of my property with posts. It's a cattle fence to keep animals in, so no dogs would get in or out. Plus, I'm installing a second fence that would be privacy from keeping dogs from seeing any other outside things that would make them bark additionally when they're outside. So I'm trying to do whatever I can do to try to limit that. But I can't contest to the people that are going to come to my home. I don't know. I would hope they're good people, but I don't know. And again, there's no outside runs. What I'm providing inside is twice as big as what average boarding places offer, which are 4x6 boxes, and then they're outside. They're on concrete. They're going to be inside. They're going to have furniture inside their cages, chairs to sleep on. One of them is going to have a love seat. So they're going to be like a home away from home. So it's, I know I've heard of space. That's why I'm only having 10, so I can provide adequate care.
Any other questions from the board?
You had mentioned earlier about drop-off and pick-up times. What were those again?
Looking at to be 7 to 10 in the morning and 4 to 5 in the evening.
Okay. Would you be boarding overnight?
Yes, like the dogs when they come. It wouldn't be somebody picking up every day. When they drop them off on a Sunday, they wouldn't be back to pick them up probably till the following Sunday.
Okay, so they might board with you for a week at a time or
correct.
Something like that.
Yeah.
How many dogs do you have yourself?
I have 3.
You have 3. So it'd be a total at the most 13 dogs on property?
Correct.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Sharp? Anything else?
That's worth it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
At this time, I will close the public hearing for case 12818 for Ms. Kimberly Morrow and entertain a motion.
Mr. Sharp, is there any guidance for us about how we should consider deed restrictions?
We don't enforce them. If somebody felt they had an enforceable deed restriction, that remedies through the Court of Chancery. They can be helpful to you all as evidence as to what the community, you know, what that community has agreed upon. But we're not enforcing them, so I don't know how much value they really are given. It really comes down to what substantial evidence is in the record that this use will substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent neighboring properties. Question I have for you.
Mr. Chair, I move that we deny case number 12818 for Kimberly A. Morrell for the special use exception I believe the applicant has failed to demonstrate the special use exception will not substantially affect adversely the uses of the neighboring and adjacent properties.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Werfel?
Nay.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
And I too. So with a vote of 4-1, your case is denied.